الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا، سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. A few days ago, I was sitting at work, and one of my coworkers said to me, "Do you have a pet?" So I looked at my coworker and I said, "Well, no, I don't have a pet." So they said, "Well, I have a cat, and one of my family members just brought a dog to our house." So I said, "Oh, okay, so now you have two pets." So they responded and they said, "Well, actually, I don't like the dog. I don't like dogs. That dog has sharp teeth. It's so hairy. It's saliva. It's always putting its saliva all over the place. To me, it's very disgusting." So I just kind of looked at the person, and they said, "But you know what? That dog came in my house on Monday, and today's Thursday, and now I'm in love with that dog. I don't even know how I lived my life without that dog. And it's only been 3 days, and the first day it came into the house, I hated that dog. And all of a sudden, I have such a deep love for that dog, I don't know what to do anymore." So I said, "Oh, really? Well, that's pretty amazing. Within 3 days, this beast, basically, with sharp teeth, fur all over it, you know, it doesn't even know how to clean itself properly, it came into your house on Monday, and by Thursday, you've fallen in love with this animal?" So they said, "Well, it's so affectionate. No matter what you do to it, it just comes and it just shows its affection towards you. And in the beginning, I hated that dog, but all of a sudden, because of the way it shows that affection towards me, I've just fallen in love with that dog." Then I started thinking, subhanAllah, that's amazing. Just think about from point A to point Z, what occurred. I mean, on Monday, that dog came into the house. It's this hairy beast. It eats out of a plate, meat out of a plate. It's dirty, it doesn't clean itself properly, it's furry, it has sharp teeth, it has saliva coming out, puts the saliva all over the place. On Monday, that dog, which was so disliked, by Thursday, was one of the beloved members of that family. And I'll tell you now, I mean, you see the way people treat their dogs, they pay for expensive funerals, they have expensive insurance plans. You just look at the way people treat their dogs. Then I started thinking, in this 3 day period, what occurred? And actually, all that occurred was that that dog had the ability to show affection towards that person. People are so lacking affection in their lives that a hairy beast can walk in the door, and within a few days, if it shows a little bit of affection, all of a sudden that hairy beast becomes one of the members of the family. Even they won't divorce their dog, they'll divorce their spouse. How many people do you know who say, "Oh, I divorced my dog"? Nobody says that. They'll divorce their spouse, they'll never divorce their dog. And then I started thinking, subhanAllah, this is exactly how the Sahaba drew in the love of the people when they went to spread Islam. I mean, if you think about the Sahaba and when they went into foreign lands, they didn't speak the language. They looked so different. I mean, they walked in with the Sunnah. I mean, they used to walk in their turbans and their beards. I mean, everything was different. Their culture was different. Their language was different. Their ways were different. Everything about them was different. Yet they could walk into this foreign country, and within a short period of time, they became the most beloved people in their city. Right? It's very similar to what happened in this instance with this dog. Obviously, you're not going to compare a dog to one of the companions of the Prophet, but it just goes to show you that sometimes distances can be crossed by showing a little bit of affection towards people. And that's exactly what the Sahaba did. Now, obviously, they learned that from the Prophet ﷺ. But they had this characteristic within them that they didn't sacrifice themselves in order to draw people's affection, because that never draws people's affection. Now, in this day and age, we think we need to sacrifice the way we look, we need to sacrifice our language, we need to sacrifice the way we are in order to try to please people so that we can draw them closer to us. That doesn't draw people closer to us. That externally makes it look like people are drawn closer. But actually, the real thing that draws people closer to us is showing them affection. Now, when the Sahaba went into a foreign land, they still spoke their Arabic, although they learned the language of the place. They still dressed the way they dressed. They were very simplistic in the way they were. They didn't try to dress up in order to please the people or try to change their ways in order to please the people. They were just the simple people that they were. But they were honest. They were truthful. They were loving. They had a true concern for humanity. So when they went into a foreign land, despite the fact that maybe initially people would look at them and say, who are these people? Where did they come from? We have nothing in common with them. Within a very short period of time, people would be wondering how they could become just like those companions. In fact, it comes in our books that when the Sahaba went into foreign lands, people used to ask, how can we attain what you've attained? You have such peace on your face. You're so honest. There's justice within your deeds. People were very impressed with them. And they used to only say one thing in response. They used to have one phrase that they would say in response, and they would just say, kunu mithlana. Kunu bi mithlana, like us. If you adopt our ways, which were essentially a mirror of the ways of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll become just like us. And literally, that's what people did. Most of us in the room are from a non-Arab country, right? And the Sahaba were able to go, or the people who followed the path of the Sahaba were able to go into these lands, and they were able to convince people not only to accept Islam, but to become just like them. Now the same sunan that were alive in Arabia became alive in the subcontinent, became alive in Africa, became alive in Malaysia, etc., because of this power. Because they were true to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every way. Now externally they didn't sacrifice a bit, but internally they were as well. That love that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that concern that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that manner that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in dealing with people, the genuineness, the sincerity that existed in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was emulated in his companions. And then the tabi'in, the tabi' tabi'in ila akhirih. That's the magic. Now in this day and age, let me tell you something. The fact that a person can spend $5,000 on their dog's insulin injections is a sign that we've failed. It's a sign that we failed because it means that those people were looking for some sort of love and affection, for some sincerity and someone that would care for them and treat them in the way that they would appreciate, which is what the job of the Muslim is. That's the way we draw people into our deen. In fact, now people look at that and they say, I mean, I hear this all the time. People say, God, these people are crazy. They'll spend $10,000 on an animal. Well, actually, that's not a reflection on them. It's a reflection on us. It means that there was a void in their life, and when they found something to fill that void, they were willing to sacrifice their own comfort, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000 sometimes, on that animal because the animal provided something that they were looking for in their lives. So it means, one, there was a void, two, they were looking, and three, they were willing to sacrifice to fill that void. Sometimes a tremendous amount. Well, that's exactly what we would have asked. But we didn't fill that void. We don't fill that void. If we were to fill that void, these people would do the exact same thing. I mean, we're closer to them than any animal. I mean, if you put an animal and any human being in comparison, we're obviously closer to them. So the actual point that we should take home from these types of things, now you hear these, you see these articles in the paper, you hear these on these different people talking about this in various gatherings, the point that we should be taking from this is that we failed. If we were to truly show that type of love towards people, they would have no choice, because no one else is going to offer it to them. They would have no choice except to come into the deen. They would also begin to make tremendous sacrifices for the deen, because they would see that this is where their true love lies. So, subhanAllah, in such a small little example that's present within our society, there's such a tremendous lesson to be learned. And that is to inculcate the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One, it benefits us. Two, it benefits our families. Three, it benefits our communities. And four, it creates a beautiful way by which we can provide benefit to all these people who are searching out there, who, if they were provided with even the slightest sign that this exists, they would definitely come. Because there's no competition. There's nothing else out there competing. The only problem is that we haven't provided the product. That product is packaged in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to inculcate both the internal and the external of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.